Well, good morning, congregation. It is a pleasure again that we may be on the Lord's Day here together to worship today and to come in the presence of our most precious and gracious God. I needed to test this microphone as it's a brand new one, but it appears to be working well. So we'll proceed. And as we're here to worship together, let us remind ourselves of that as I read from you a few verses from Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands, and sing forth the honor of his name, and make his praise glorious, and say unto God, how terrible, that means how awesome. How awesome art thou in thy works, and through the greatness of thy power shall enemies submit themselves unto thee. To him we come this morning in prayer and worship. May I lead you into prayer and give you the blessing of the Lord this morning. Let's stand. Our help is in thy name, O Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never and never forsaketh the works of thy own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing together with Psalm 161, verse 1, 3, 4, and 5. My soul in silence waits for God. And what follows in 161, 1, 3, 4, and 5.
Silence. Our first reading for this morning is from the law of God, which he gave to Israel as on Mount Horeb, but which is also applicable for us today. And we'll read that from Exodus 20. And after the reading of the law, we shall sing from Psalter 141, verse 1 and 3. But first, the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbour's.
Oh, can I surrender?
Now our next scripture reading is from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 13. The second epistle of Corinthians, chapter 13. And this is the third time I am coming to you, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you would is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So far the reading.
Well, let us come before the Lord together in prayer. Glorious God of love and peace, thou art the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And it is unto thee that we this morning desire to take our refuge and to draw near. For whom else, Lord, shall we go in this life, in the circumstances of our life, but unto thee, who art the Creator, the Upholder, and the gracious Shepherd of sheep. O Lord, though we change and fade as a leaf on the tree, and as we wither as grass in the field, thou art from everlasting to everlasting. Thy word endures forever, and is not bound, time and circumstances, to people. And therefore, Lord, we rejoice in thee this morning, for we have in our midst again thy faithful testimony, the words of Jesus. And we pray this morning that the Spirit of Christ may dwell in our midst, may dwell in our hearts, may take us upward to see thee, as we sang this morning, that in silence we praise thee, that in our hearts we rely with confidence on thee, that we may learn to rejoice together also this morning in the things that thou hast prepared and given. And O Lord, we today don't feel like rejoicing as it is a day of parting, yet teach us now, even at this moment, to truly rejoice in thee always. and to trust in Thee at all times, and to pour our heart in all the shapes and feelings it may be, and to commit to Thee every way, and to delight ourselves in Thee alone. And Lord, if there's one thing that we need to learn, it is that we place far too many delights in things of this life, even in the precious relationships of this life that are but short and passing. But teach thou us to delight ourselves more and more in Thee, and so shall we have the desires of our heart according to Thy promise. And therefore, Lord, together we have so many more reasons to thank Thee this day than we have to mourn. O gracious Lord Jesus, Thou Son of God, how great was Thy goodness and Thy love, that Thou wast willing to leave Thy Father's house, where Thou delighted and rejoiced in His presence, to come here to this earth. O God, let that truth continue to inspire us, to guide us and to humble us, but also to comfort us, that Thou wast willing to part with what is precious and to dwell for 33 years in this misery of earth, in bondage through all the afflictions and trials that Thou didst so willingly take upon Thyself. Lord, make Thyself precious. Feed our souls with that which Thou Thyself art, and grant us together to taste more of the love and peace that Thou came to bring through Thy sufferings and Thy life of sacrifice. And glorious God and Father, how great is Thy goodness, that Thou hast been willing to give up Thy only Son and forsake Him in order to gather sinners. We read it in this chapter on the end already, the love of God. It is passing all understanding, Lord, that Thou wast willing to make such sacrifice to give Thy only Son. And let that truth this morning cheer our hearts. Let that truth also strengthen us, Lord, to face the future. Let that truth comfort us when we feel also in the weeks to come the parting emptiness that we will experience. But Thou can offset it, Lord, and therefore we beg Thee this morning in the name of Jesus that that glorious Spirit may also fill our hearts and strengthen us day by day to look unto Thee. O God, wilt Thou bless us this morning, and we beseech Thee that Thou would break this morning through all the obstacles to speak to our heart, and to make us hear and rejoice in Thy word and in Thy message. And Lord, we ask, as we this morning may consider again the gospel of the cross, which is the power of salvation. And we thank Thee for every soul here who has experienced this power, who has been touched by that power of the gospel message, and has come to conversion, and to repentance, and to faith. O God, we pray that Thou would cause the beginning of that growth to grow even more, and to flourish richly in the fruit of the Spirit, that Thy people may indeed share the aroma of the love of Jesus, that Thou would graciously fill Thy church, Lord, with that heavenliness, and that godliness, and that Christ-likeness, that they may continue to be to one another as lights in this world, but also to the world around us. So we lift up Thy church here, Lord, and we beseech Thee to enrich them more and more, that they may go from strength to strength, with their eyes and their hearts uplifted unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And Lord, have mercy on all those who have hardened themselves under the ministry of the gospel, who would not come, who are standing afar off, running after the empty vanities of this life, having no real interest. We pray for a spiritual encounter with Thee. We pray, O God, that Thou would manifest Thyself unto such as Thou did to Saul on the way to Tarsus, on the way to Damascus. That Thou would manifest Thyself, Lord, to those who have not come to grips with the fact that they are created for Thee and were made and placed on this earth to fulfill and to follow Thy will. And we beseech Thee, O God, that Thou would reach those who harden themselves, even this morning, with the power of the Word and Spirit. And we pray for those who are in doubts and fears, still standing far off, Lord, looking perhaps at themselves as so unworthy and unfit. And again we pray that Thou would deliver the poor and needy, Lord, that they may be able to stand and to come on that rock of ages and there to sing a new song of the victory and the deliverance and the forgiveness that there is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And O faithful God, we pray that so Thou wilt glorify Thyself in the midst of this congregation. Thou art a great shepherd, and we pray, gather not only with us in this hour, but also go with us from here. We lift up the need, Lord, this dear congregation is facing in the future. And we plead Thy promise this morning, O exalted and anointed Savior. And they that are far off, they shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. Thou hast caused Thy servant to have hope on that scripture verse. And we pray, dear God, that Thou would fulfill that, Thy time, and to bring again also in the midst of this church a man of God to bring the message of God, to be Thy ambassador, to feed and nourish them, to guide them in times of joy and sadness, to be with them, Lord, as a shepherd with his sheep. Oh, we pray and we plead with Thee, O God, and we also trust in Thee. For what Thou hast begun, Thou wilt not forsake. O Lord, we know we can trust Thee, and we can know we can entrust it to no one better but unto Thee. And so be Thou with them. Make Thyself felt among them. Even as the brother eldest, Lord, lead the services, may it not feel like a lack. May it be sensed that Thou art not bound to means or men, that Thou art the one who speaks through the Word and that abides forever. That Thou, O God, wilt show them that Jesus is the same today and tomorrow as He is yesterday. And so gather them day by day, week by week. And yet, Lord, wilt Thou bind us together in the prayer and the begging that Thou wilt send a man of Thy own choosing to labor again in this congregation. And we lift them up, especially our dear brothers in the session. Especially our brother eldest, Lord, as many labors will be added to their shoulders. We know Thou wilt not let them do that in their own strength. And wilt Thou also give them grace, Lord, daily and hourly, to depend on Thee. We trust Thou wilt equip them and anoint them with Thy Spirit. And we pray that a double portion of Thy Spirit be upon them, Lord, that they may feel that they underneath are Thy everlasting arms, as Thou hast never forsaken me on this place. As I brought Thy word, may they never feel that. And may they sense also the prayers and the petitions of their congregation. Lord, we commit him to thee. And we thank thee also for the years in which we've worked with so many of them in the excellent spirit of love and unity and peace that thou hast maintained among us also as leaders. We thank thee for that. We lift up, Lord, the elderly this morning, especially those that cannot be here today. And especially we pray for Hank Bosch. O God, thou hast upheld him so far. Thou hast also comforted him from time to time again this week. And we pray that as he lays on his dying bed, that thou would graciously provide, Lord, the dying grace that he may be able to continue to experience that only comfort in life and in death, not being his own, but to belong to a faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray for Mark van Dorp, who also is Lord in weakness of body, and we ask that thou would be with him as well, and with his brother and family, as they also experience the needs. Be with others, Lord, in our church family that are afflicted with physical, with mental, with emotional needs, with all kinds of issues that they may have in their lives, and we pray that thou would sanctify it. We lift up the families and the young people and the children and the unborn in this congregation before thee again. Strengthen every one of the families and let them be, Lord, as churches within the congregation. We bless thee for all the thousands who have been able to listen all through the services over this world, and also commit them to thy care and pray that thy word, Lord, may continue to be a blessing to them. Be with Rachel van Beek, strengthen her in these waiting weeks. We thank thee, Lord, so far that thou hast also preserved the child within her womb, and pray that it may go well with them together. Thank thee for all the love that is poured out on Wilfred and the children and all the provisions that they have received so far. We bless thee, Lord, for those who labor in reaching out the gospel to the lost around us. And we trust that thou wilt continue to use them and to bless them. And now we commit ourselves to thee, O God who reigns and rules forever. Hear thou us this morning. Open our hearts for the word. Anoint thy servant to preach. And bless thee for all the guests also this morning that may share this hour. And we ask this all as we also give to thee at that moment, in a moment, the offerings and the tithes and the gifts, we pray thee. Receive thou them and bless them. To Jesus, to the glory of thy name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 401, verses 1 through 4. Well, in the meantime, there is an opportunity to worship the Lord God in the giving and offerings. And may the Lord bless you and your gifts. So, 401, the one true helper. Praise ye the Lord, his praise proclaim, and what follows in all verses.
There is scarcely a congregation in the New Testament where it was more true that the power of the cross is the most irresistible power. That was the congregation of Corinth. In all of the Greek culture of those days and prior to Paul's days, Corinth was known as a bad city. Their main deity before the Greeks took over was Venus. Now, if you know anything about those gods, Venus, that's the god of lust. That's the god of dirty lust. That was Corinth, a harbor city, full of vice, full of the incredible sins that we see today in our gorgeous country, New Zealand. And no city illustrated better that the preaching of Jesus' cross is the power, the dynamite of God. For the congregation that was formed there after the labors of some Christians was an incredible congregation. Men and women and boys and girls who before lived in the gutters of every social ill of life were washed and cleansed and sanctified and justified and drawn into one body of the Lord Jesus, growing as Christians. Children, without the people in Corinth noticing it, one day two people walked in the city gate. They weren't noticed, they were probably looked upon as common travelers. We know their names. It were Priscilla and Aquila, two Christians, walked into Corinth, came out of Rome, had been fleeing out of Rome because the emperor was persecuting them and they had to flee. And a little while later, another lone man walked into the city gate, and his name was Paul. And just those three Christians, the book of Acts records, God was going to use to turn a part of that city upside down and started a kingdom that could not be resisted. A kingdom of God was formed in that city. These three simple persons were the agents of God to preach the message of the gospel. And congregation, that city, Corinth, stands today as a testimony in this wicked and dark and discouraging world that the power of God is irresistible when we hold up and preach the name of Jesus. Nothing will stand before the power of the gospel. And though today we may feel discouragement, this Corinthian city is idolizing itself, as this nation is plunging itself more and more into darkness, let us take hold of the gospel comfort that where we name the name of Jesus, and it doesn't have to be from a place like this. Aquila, Priscilla, and Paul were making tents together. And no doubt shared with the customers who came there to the message of the gospel. But if a living and a thriving church could be established in that city, then there is no place on earth today where God's power and God's grace cannot conquer and sanctify sinners to the power of the cross. And let us take hold of that as we look in this today. There is hope. There is comfort because the same God that began the work in Corinth is the same God who began the work in Carthage, who is the same God who is beginning and working and onworking His work in this kingdom until the day that we hear the trumpet of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "Now it is finished." And dear beloved congregation, to whom else better can I direct you again this morning? But unto that most beloved, almighty, glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him.
who is today and tomorrow and forever has been, the same and abiding Jesus. This morning I want to look at this chapter of Corinthians with you briefly. In this letter, Paul has been sharp. Paul has been open with the Corinthians. Now, they are a church that still had need for much growth. And sometimes he has been sharp in this letter. And he says, for example, in verse 10 of this last chapter, "Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest, being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to the edification, to the building up of the church, and not to the destruction. The task of the minister is like a surgeon's knife." Or I was thinking of it this week, it's like a power hose as I was cleaning all my equipment. Yeah, preachers are to have power hoses in their hand. A word is like a powerful cutting through every layer of excuse. Every dirty spot needs to be touched by the preaching. And Paul did that. And he didn't spare feelings, did he? He sometimes was sharp. He held back nothing that was profitable. But notice in verse 11 to 14, the text verses of this morning, in particular verse 11, his tone is markedly different. The tone of his voice becomes a fatherly, pastoral warmth. It is tender when he writes, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." And who's holding Paul's hands, children, when he wrote these last words? It's Jesus. So we're not listening to Paul's message, we're listening to God's message this morning in these parting words that I may share with you. God's message. So I'd like to draw your attention to verse 11, and it is God's message in Paul's words. And there's two things that I learned from these verses. First, God says, focus on the things that make for joy. Focus on the things that make for joy. And secondly, focus on the God of love and peace. That's his message to us this morning in the circumstance that we're in. Focus on the things that make for joy. And secondly, focus on the God of love and peace. Finally, my final word has come today as God's ambassador. Although I hope and pray, and as you saw the newsletter, already scheduled to at least be in your midst, hopefully more times. But today, indeed, as your pastor, I may say finally. I must say finally. And not an easy must. But I am confident I'm following the Lord Jesus. He called me to come here. He called me to leave here. And so, finally, my brethren. Notice the word brethren. That includes men and women and children. God has a message this morning for all ages. And the brethren of the congregation of Corinthians are all the people there. And this brethren word is a word of love. It's a word of closeness. It's a word of relationship. You know, before the conversions, these Corinthians all lived separate lives. They're all out for their own. They're all out living to make the best for themselves. They were competing, not caring. As loose sands in a city, competing for the best. But now, by the grace of God, they become brethren. They've been united. They've been placed together in the grace of the Lord as He converted them. And this congregation in the Corinth has shown the exceeding great power of God's grace. Yeah, this church that wasn't a church, it's been scattered from all over the world, all over the life. Have been brought together. It's amazing. This is what God can do. I mean, there were harlots and there were gay people and lesbians and drunkards and idolaters and people in occult. They came from all the walks of life and they've been brought together as brethren. You know, this is the dynamite of the gospel. This is the message and the power of the grace of God. No man can ever accomplish this, but Jesus can. And so finally, brethren, this whole church family in Corinth is merged and molded into the various, from the various character into one body. But as with all growing up, you have growing pains. And so this church has huge growing pains. There's always room for growth. And Paul has touched upon lots of issues that this church needs to grow in. But now, as he comes to the end of this chapter, he gives him one final exhortation, but it has a fatherly tone. 13 years, God has been working in this congregation long before that already, but in the 13 years of my task in your midst. And I can say also this morning, by the grace of God, brethren, God has brought us so much closer together as a church family. The transformations that I have witnessed in this congregation are so encouraging. Encouraging what God can do through the simple message of the gospel. And then Paul says, farewell. And we say that pretty lightly sometimes to each other. Farewell, we mean with that, goodbye. That's not what the Greek word means at all. Matter of fact, if you look well in the chapter, he says he's coming. Chapter 13, verse 1, he says, this is the third time I'm coming to you. And when he closes this letter, he doesn't say farewell in the sense of goodbye, because he just said he's coming. He's not going, he's coming. The word farewell, congregation, in the Greek means literally rejoice. It's sometimes translated with the word hail, as the angel said to Mary, hail. Here, farewell, rejoice. See, that's where my theme comes from this morning. Focus on the things that make for joy. Paul says, joy be to you all. Now today is not... You say, but today is not a reason to rejoice. Today isn't a reason that we're not going to be happy. Well, in some way, perhaps it's true that today isn't. But may I remind you that true joy is not based on events. It's not based on persons. It's not based on circumstances. It's not based on who you see before you or next to you. It's based on who is there. Rejoice, my beloved. Farewell. That means rejoice in Him. In the Almighty, in the All-Faithful, in the All-Sufficient God. There's nothing wrong, of course, with weeping and mourning when loss occurs. But let us now exercise the Christian grace of joy. And the Christian grace of joy is not that we are merging it and basing it on things, on people, on events, on circumstances, but we cast our anchor into the Almighty. Rejoice. This is a day to rejoice, not a day to be sad. A day to be thankful. For what? For what we read in the end of this chapter. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. With all the changing scenes and with all the changing circumstances, these three truths remain the same. The grace of God, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Let us encourage and let us rejoice together in these solid truths of God. And instead of focusing on saying, oh, it's going to be such an empty hole in our midst. Yeah, there will be many more empty holes in our midst. Our life will always have more empty holes, but please, there, trust in Him. Look to Him. Put your hope in Him. Commit your ways to Him. He stays. He is always the same. And therefore Paul says, farewell. And his exhortation builds on this. He says, focus on the things that make for joy. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. You know, those words basically speak for themselves. Well, let me just add a few comments on every one of those statements that Paul says, focus on this. Now, focus on. Be perfect. We're not perfect. This church is by far not perfect. I've seen tremendous growth. We've got more to grow. There's so much more that we can grow in the likeness of the Lord and in the glories of His grace. So Paul says, be perfect. Literally, in the Greek says, reform yourselves and be always growing and correcting any evil that works against the joy and peace. Keep that in mind. Be perfect means take away those things. Fight those things. Resist those things that whittle away the joy and peace within your midst. Be perfect. It remains true for us that we are to grow and to apply ourselves to the family spirit of being brethren in the Lord. So don't insist on your own ways. Don't insist on your views. Don't insist on your ideas. No, we are to promote unity in love with one another. Yeah, reread Romans 14 and the first part of 15, please. Be perfect. And Paul kind of goes on in a second statement of that. He says, be of good comfort. Now, it's interesting that you can translate it in two different ways. Be of good comfort, so focus on the comfort. You can also say, encourage each other in comfort. Strengthen each other in comfort. So focus your minds together on the things that are comfort. So what are they? Promises of God. Wonderful truths of God. That's the only comfort in this life and death. God ordains out of the mouth of little children. I heard something this week that was so precious. I thought, that's for my sermon. As one mother was talking with her 3-year-old or 4-year-old about ministers leaving, and his family's leaving, and his furniture's leaving. And that all made that child sad. And yet, this is what she said. But God is not leaving. Now, keep that in mind. God is not leaving. If a 4-year-old has to remind you of that, that 4-year-old was comforting each other. God is not leaving, children. Jesus is the same, and He stays. His Word stays here among us. And focus on that. And help each other to focus on that. Be of one mind. Paul did need to exhort them often to this being of one mind. It's so easy to scatter a flock of sheep. Just send one dog in there that doesn't know what he's doing. Or is out to kill. The sheep go everywhere. It's easy to scatter this flock. And who are to watch? Well, your elders are to. No, not only. Every one of us. Every one of us has a calling to work to keep the flock together. And it's so important that we are in one mind in the things of essentialness to salvation. Death in Adam, life in Christ. We must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. The importance of all those major doctrines, focus on that. But don't fall in the mindset, friends, to major on the minors while you are minoring on the majors. That's what the devil loves to do, to divide and to distract and to scatter. Therefore, Paul writes, no, God writes, be of one mind. And live in peace. And that's ultimately the fruit of that one mind, isn't it? That one mind in the truth is to live in peace together. No peace is so sweet and so deep as the peace in the Lord Jesus. So, here's the instructions. Focus on the things that that make for love. But then Paul concludes and he says, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So secondly, focus on the God of love and peace. My aim in my ministry in these last 13 years has been only one thing. That you may know the God of love and peace. Thank you for those of you who reminded me yesterday, in some of your personal words, that that was one of the things you detected in my ministry. Because that is exactly what God called me to do. To make known to you and others who He is. It's not about people. It's about this glorious God of love and peace. My friends, I could preach for a million years about this still. And haven't yet come to tell you who He is. The love of God and the peace of God. Just think of this phrase, how God reveals Himself here. It's not Paul's idea, okay? It's not Paul saying he's a God of love and peace. No, God is telling us in this chapter, I am a God of love and a God of peace. There is no description as true or as beautiful as this one. God is love. God seeks peace. God desires a peace with you, with every single person here. He's brought out His peace child, His own Son, so loving and so committed, He is to make peace with His rebel creature. The God of love and peace. And now once more this morning, listen to Him. He, as the God of love and peace, stands at your door and saying, my friend, my creature, my lost creature, hear me. I have thoughts of peace. I delight in love and peace. And if you haven't banished today harsh thoughts about that God, if you still think He's distant, He's uninterested in your life, if you still think He's only a holy, sovereign God who does what He wants, He does, and He is. But banish the thoughts this morning and take hold of this revelation. He is the God of love and peace. He has revealed His love to this world that is wicked and rebellious and unfit and so gross. As there are people here who have learned to see within their heart and say, it's unbelievable that God was willing to die for me. Let's stand in awe. Let's stand in awe again and again. As we contemplate the glory of God's love, I so love this world of wicked people that I gave my only begotten Son. He has revealed His thoughts of love and peace. There's a council of peace somewhere in eternity. God says, we as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we came up with a counsel of peace. We came up with thoughts of peace to indeed save sinners. And we came up with this plan and this counsel to give ourselves up in order to bridge the distance and to open the door. And my beloved friends, once more this morning as Jesus' ambassador, I may stand before you with His outstretched arm. Often from this place, I have tried to display something of the glory of the character of Jesus. And I've asked you, will you not go with this man? Will you not give up all your treasures and your vanities? And follow the only one who is worthy losing all. Once more than this morning. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, and every one of us is thirsting.
thirsting for love, for security, for acceptance, for some peace. You can't find it anywhere, friends, except in the living Jehovah, in Jesus. Oh, everyone that thirsts, don't continue to spend your money for that which is not satisfying. Don't give your energy, your strength, your mind, your life, that which at the end doesn't satisfy. As we see Hank Bosch laying on his deathbed, nothing matters anymore. But having the only comfort of knowing Jesus. And so again, this God of love and peace, focus on Him. As I've tried to set before you His love in His gospel, then the question still is this morning, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have you found in me that you will not follow me? That's a question that God asks. And that's a question you and I have to answer one day. So focus on the God of love and peace. And why is this so important, congregation? That's the interest of this beautiful text. Nothing will promote being perfect, and nothing will promote being encouraging, and nothing will promote one mind but focusing on the God of love and peace. And as a congregation, focus on Him. Continue to pray. Open my mind, Lord. Open my heart. Take away all the darkness and all the hindrances. Let me focus on this God of peace. And how interesting. Those who live and work in the sun, they get 10. But those who live in the light of the Son of Righteousness and who live in the shadows of this God of love and peace, they become peace lovers. And love of peace, man. And so the only way we can grow is focus on the God of love and peace. And our text presents one of those most familiar paradoxes of the Scripture, isn't it? God's presence produces love and peace. But in order to have God's presence, we have to focus on love and peace. That's a paradox, but those are the Scripture truths. Focus on Him. Focus on love and peace. Now with this God, we can face the future. You can face the future. As Paul ends this chapter, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let's sing together 425, verse 1, 2, and 3. Unto the Lord lift thankful voices. Come, worship while your soul rejoices. Psalter 425, 1, 2, and 3. 13 years, beloved congregation of Caritas. For 13 years, my master has detained me going through Samaria. So 1998 already, that my heart was won for this congregation. And the first call that God sent to me. I wasn't right to time, but in 2000, when you sent me the second one, it were these words that spoke to my heart clearly. You must go through Samaria. And I knew at that time this would not be my final station. It was through Samaria. I didn't know, and I'm so thankful to God that it became 13 years. That was a long stay. Too short as well. And Samaria proved to be Samaria. That was a blessed place where God stopped the woman who became the means to bring others to Christ. And if there's one thing in this congregation that has happened, it is that. You know, Jacob said after 7 years of serving for Rachel, they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. And I can say today, the 13 years, they seemed as few days for the love I've had for you. And now it is time for me to go on. And I'm not rejoicing about leaving you. Far from it. But I am ready to follow Jesus in an unknown future, to take and work for Him in another part of the world as long as He pleases to use me there. God has spoken, and today, as I may finish this part of my course, I may do so with exceeding great joy. As I said briefly yesterday afternoon, these last 13 years have been some of my best years ever. Spiritually, personally, as a family as well. We've grown together. We've intertwined together, if I may say. And God has enabled me, and I thank Him for that, to carry out His ministry in your midst faithfully. I hope, but certainly with joy. I'm called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope I've done so. When I accepted the ministerial call, I chose the word from Acts 4 as my ordination text. It was a prayer in which the church of Jerusalem prayed for the disciples that they may have boldness to preach the gospel and to stretch forth the hand of Jesus to heal. All I've tried these 13 years is to let you feel the hand of Jesus. It's been my tremendous desire. Now sometimes Jesus' hand is tough and sharp and painful. But it's meant to heal. Sometimes Jesus' hand is tender, as He understands the weaknesses and the needs of everyone. I beg your pardon for every aspect that I have added to that hand that was not of Jesus. I have not always been like Jesus. And I confess my shortcomings. I confess and pray that indeed you also would forgive me for any aspect of my ministry in which I have failed to represent my beloved Master and have failed to give you the aroma of Him. I know it's covered in the sight of Christ and the Father, that I may know. But still, it's not wrong for me to ask for you
that you would also forgive me any of those shortcomings. And so, beloved congregation, there's a few special words I want to direct, first of all, to the brothers of the session. And that also includes all the former ones. One of them who is at the throne of heaven already at this moment. You know, brothers, I thank you for your marvelous relationships. A minister cannot do his work without the support of a consistory that stands around him and he feels and he is kept by them. Yeah, a minister is not a father of the congregation. A minister is the mother of the congregation. And I felt over the years the support of the elders. Now back in the pew and those who are still elders today. And my beloved brother and friend Jacob, who is taken away from our midst. I thank you heartily for your incredible, helpful assistance. In all the years I've been here, I don't think we've ever had an argument. And that's because the love of God and the peace of God dwelt among us. Thank you, brothers. I know that you as elders are facing a heavy task, especially in the time of the absence of a full-time pastor. But as I stood there this morning, I thank the Lord for having never forsaken me on this place. In all those 13 years. He will not forsake you either. He will not. He has called you, and faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. And congregation, remember these brothers in your midst, in your prayer. They are full-time jobs. They don't have the same time as you gave me to do the ministry in your midst. So bear with them. Strengthen them in your prayers and pray them full, especially the elders as they lead the services and do extra teaching and pastoral work. Secondly, I want to speak to you men, brothers in this congregation. I have thoroughly enjoyed working for these last 13 years with the men folk of this church. We've walked together, we've talked together, we've laughed together, we've cried together. We've searched together, we've shared together. And men, I am so thankful we had this relationship. As men, we need to strengthen each other to take leadership. We're called to lead, you know. We men are leaders. That's how we were created to be. We need to use the gifts and the status God has given us as men to guide and to nurture and to strengthen. Realize your potential that God has given you in working with the next generation. The elders are going to be stressed out with all the work of heaven already. We men have a task together as brothers of the congregation to especially help in the raising of the next generation. Here's your word of God for you men. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith and quit you like men. Be strong and let all things be done with charity. Women. God made women special and unique and indispensable. And I've enjoyed also thoroughly to minister to you as some of you. Many of you, if not most of you, have shared with me many things over the years. And women, I'm thankful for your ability to be a woman. One sign a church is prospering, and this church is that the women are happy taking the position God has assigned them as the Creator. That's one spiritual sign of prosperity. And I thank God for the display of womanhood I've witnessed here. You've also grown together, as my wife said yesterday on the reflection afternoon, how you have grown together as women in the Bible studies and in the sharing time. Beside a task for your own husband and your family, women, older ones, be aware, you have a task to teach, to model, to inspire the younger women. You have to teach them about the true biblical womanhood. Joyfully serving in the assigned position God has given you. See, when the older women are focusing their attention also on the younger women and inspire them to show by the example what it is to be a godly, biblical woman, you'll be an asset in the ministry of God's kingdom. Proverbs 30 verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Children and young people, you know you have a huge place in my heart. And I am going to terribly miss you too. Paul Pond doesn't have as many kids. So, thank you, kids. Thank you, young people. You've been an awesome group of young people to work with. Sometimes you gave me a headache. Sometimes you gave me heart worries. But you know what I appreciate about you? Your willingness to listen. Be open to share. With some of you I've made walks. With some of you I've emailed. Because you can't make a walk with a girl, you know. But you can email. I thank you for the tremendous love we have experienced in these years. And some of you, of course, were young when I came here. Are your parents right now. But it's just a wonderful time to spend with you. And young people, the time of youth is a time to enjoy. And not to waste. Let that be clear. Realize your potential as a young person. Realize that you lay the foundation of the rest of your life when you're young. Of course, we as parents have to be aware of that as well. But you also, as young people, don't waste it. Don't waste your mind. Don't waste your time. Pursue that which is holy and pure and worthwhile and enriching. And there's a lot of challenges out there for you young people. So children and young people, here's my word of God to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let your leaning be toward the Lord. And you know, my email is still working. So I would love to remain your online pastor for a while until you have your own pastor again. And so don't hesitate to bombard my email box with your questions or whatever. And lastly, and I haven't intended to touch everyone here, but just taking a few groups together. I'd lastly like to say a word to all those who are involved in reaching out the gospel. Now, often we say we do reach out work, but we are actually trying to reach out the gospel to the lost. Now, if there's one aspect in which this church has grown in the last 13 years, it's there. When I came here 13 years ago, in my explorative phase of my ministry, I asked, what do you do for evangelism? And there wasn't a whole lot that I heard. Except there's a sign outside that says, everyone is welcome. And have I seen what has happened here in the last 13 years, how this congregation has taken to heart the task that Jesus has given to a church to reach out the gospel and to become a compelling church. And certainly, you have grown immensely. And you have still much more to grow. So don't sit there back and say, oh, we've reached it. No. Be perfect. You're not there yet. There is a lot more to grow. But I'm very thankful and grateful for the many gifts that God has developed over these years and are being used. And I hope when I'm far away in Wisconsin, I may hear what Paul heard of the Thessalonians. For from you have sounded out the word of God, he says. And so remember the words that I preached on this recently. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. You know, that was a verse that also spoke in 2000. John 10, verse 16 became very precious. And God says, look, you need to go to that place because there are other sheep that are not of that fold, and them also I must bring. And there are a couple of them here that have joined our congregation. But I kept saying to the Lord in these last 5 years, Lord, I haven't seen the fulfillment of that word. It must not be my time to go. And then this call came from Walpan, and I was a little bit confused. I said, well, maybe I misinterpreted that. Maybe I took that text to my own heart and said, oh, that was my own thinking. But now I see, congregation, I misunderstood the text. God spoke it. But he doesn't need to use me. What has happened in these last 13 years is that God has been raising you up to go find his other sheep that are out there. Remember, they're his sheep already. That anyone you meet on the street could be a potential sheep. Any one of them. No matter what they look or smell like. As one of his sheep could be. So use the opportunities to speak the word. Spread out the gospel net. And so God will use you. As he may use Johan, and he may use the drop zone leaders, he may use the fresh perspectives, he may use the Bible in school, we're not doing it this moment, but all the other variety of things that are being done, but he may use you in a conversation. And you may never know. Don't need to know either. It's also not about bringing him to this church, right? Remind yourself of that. It's not about that. One church and one fold. It's about bringing them to the Lord. Whether they join this church or not, it's not really the point. And so continue. Continue to work as a church community. And to shine the light in the midst of this place where you live. Now lastly, thanks for those who have joined this morning for attending here on this last service. Really appreciate that you made the effort to share this with the congregation. I conclude with these words, thank you. And I give now the word to Mr. Jaap Evers, who wants to say a few thanks.
Pastor, Family for Gunst, and congregation, at a moment as this, when a pastor preaches his farewell sermon to leave for another congregation, then it's customary that a representative of the classes to which we belong, which is the classes Utrecht in the Netherlands, speaks a word. As you can understand, it's impossible for one of those representatives to be here. However, Reverend W. Haring has written a letter. Reverend W. Haring is our moderator and contact person for our congregation. And I would like now to ask Elder Harry Bosch to come up to the lectern to read that letter.
Dear Brother Vergunst and congregation, on behalf of the Classis Utrecht, the deputies for foreign churches and the denomination in the Netherlands, I want to address you in this farewell service. After a long period of waiting, the moment has come to depart from Carterton and move to the congregation of Waipan in the United States. Again, you and your family stand at a crossroad in your life, and from a distance, I want to wish you God's indispensable blessing. As a brother and friend, I would have loved to be in your midst, but this could unfortunately not be realized due to the great traveling distance and the time and the cost involved. In our thoughts and prayers, we feel united with you, your wife and family, and the congregation and the brothers of the session.
By God's direction, you were called 13 years ago to minister to the congregation of Carrollton. And the Lord has blessed you abundantly in His service. We may believe that the Lord has used your labors to the glory of His name and to the salvation of sinners. The Lord also carried you through the trials and difficulties that are always connected to the Christian ministry. And we believe that the Lord will continue to do so because God's provision does not depend upon our geographical location upon this globe, but whether we are in His way and moving in the direction He shows us. It is my wish that the Lord will make you to experience that He travels ahead like the pillar of cloud and the fire in the desert during the journey of the people of Israel. This pillar was a visible sign of the Lord's presence. In such a way, the Lord protects and guides our going in and out. He preserved your coming in November 2000, and He will also guide our going, preserves your going out September 2013. The cloud was God's sovereign gift to Israel. It is so striking that no word is said about the people asking for this guide, yet it came to them as a tender provision of God's mercy. How much more will the Lord grant this provision to those who seek Him? It's my brotherly wish that the Lord will go before you to lead you in the way, Exodus 13:21. The cloud gave light. Even in the darkest hours, there was light in the wilderness. The cloud gave covering. In all circumstances, the Lord gave His protection. God also spoke to the people of Israel in the cloudy pillar. The cloud also covered the sanctuary and filled the tabernacle with the glory of the Lord. Dear brother, look upon this precious token of God's presence in departing from Carrollton, New Zealand, and entering into the ministry of the congregation of Waipan and the churches of the NRC in North America. The cloud was never taken away from them till they arrived in the promised land. The prophet Nehemiah says, "Yet though in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness, and the pillar of cloud departed not from them." And why not? Because Christ was in that pillar of cloud and fire, as He has promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Keep this in mind when you have to bid your beloved congregation farewell. I also want to express our thankfulness on behalf of the clusters and the churches in the Netherlands for your brotherly love, kind cooperation and support during all the past years. We trust that the brotherly love and unity will continue in the future. Brother and Mrs. Vergunst and family, your thoughts will multiply in these moments as you have to leave behind what is near and dear to you, also beloved family members, and travel to a new congregation, a new place of living, a new congregation, a new school situation, new circumstances and new difficulties. But God is faithful. He can never be mistaken, and He shall fulfill all your needs. The pillar of cloud and fire had its upper portion up to the heaven in the form of a cloud. That shows us that all the blessings implied come from that heavenly source, from the triune God, from that precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands before God's throne. It's God from whom all blessings flow. And the lower part of the pillar descending from heaven spread out clockwise over the whole camp of the Israelites. What comforting thought also for you, congregation. The cloud spreads so wide that in Christ Jesus it reaches from east to west, from north to south, from Carrollton to Waipan, and from Waipan to Carrollton. Yes, it reaches to earth's remotest regions, wherever his empire be. 13 years, Reverend Fugunst proclaimed the gospel of Christ in your midst. Are you able to say, after his faithful ministry in your midst, now we believe, not because of his word, and that is from Pastor Fugunst, saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. We commit the congregation and the brothers of the session to the Lord, as the pulpit will be empty and an office will be missed. May the Lord grant you again a pastor in his favour, as it is God's divine economy that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the preaching. And from the churches in the Netherlands, we hope to remember you in our prayers and try to give you support by sending ministers to serve you with the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments. May God in mercy remember you all with brotherly greetings in our Lord Jesus Christ, Reverend W. Haring.
Dear Pastor, Mrs. Fugunst, and family Fugunst, on behalf of the session and the congregation, I would like to say a few parting words by looking back and looking forward. But how can we do that if we do not first look upwards? If we are to praise anyone, it's not going to be men, but it's the Almighty God who uses men through his Spirit, as Paul says in Romans 12, verse 6 to 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Let a prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or that he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhorting. And we've sung it together so often. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Therefore all honor and praise is unto him. He is the one who sends and calls. And in his great mercy he has called you now to go after 13 years. But he sent you with a message that you just told us, that he must needs go through Samaria. Nevertheless, the same apostle teaches us that we are to recognize the labors of God's servants. Paul exhorts us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 13, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly for in love for their work's sake. So it is fitting that at a moment like this we look back and briefly reflect on your ministry among us. Now, the most visible aspect of your ministry was the preaching of the word. And that was indeed also the commission that was given to you at your installation service. From 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word. And this you have done faithfully. In the sermons, we could hear that you were burdened with the souls of the unsaved. The pulpit was the place where we could hear you as an ambassador of Christ, as we heard this morning, and as a friend of the bridegroom, to allure a bride for this heavenly bridegroom. There were the calls to repentance, and there was also the leading of the weak and small believers, the feeding of the lambs, and also of the more mature sheep in the pastures of God's word, so that they may grow in grace and in faith. And besides the preaching and instruction from the pulpit, there was other teaching, catechism classes, Bible studies, topic evenings for the church family, for the youth group, and for the community. And then there were all the preparations for the theological teachings in other countries. There was the writing of articles and books. There were session meetings and related matters. There was the leading and encouraging of the outreach into the community through the whole mission committee. And there was then all the pastoral work, visiting families, the sick and lonely, biblical counseling, answering phone calls, emails, etc., etc. It's just too much to mention at all. And we thank you for all your faithful labors. But beside this more or less visible ministry, there was also an invisible aspect. And that were your prayers, where you wrestled before the Lord for lost souls and the extension of his kingdom. And we may believe that all this labor has not been in vain. God has richly blessed your labors in the congregation, and he has heard your prayers for the congregation as well as for many others outside this congregation, both in New Zealand and abroad. Eternity will tell the extent of the fruit of this labor which you have been able to do through God's grace. But while it is good at times to look back, those who put their hand to the plow in God's kingdom must look forward. And as you then look forward and depart from this Samaria, then I can imagine that there are many questions about the unknown future, questions to which you do not have answers. Going to Waupun, a very small congregation. And therefore, I would like to encourage you from Acts 8. We see there Philip, the evangelist, laboring and preaching in Samaria. And evidently, his labor is blessed there. So he would say there's a lot of work there for Philip. But in verse 26, the angel of the Lord instructs him to depart and to go on that road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And that is not the main road. It's not the busy road where there are lots of people, but it's the back road, the quiet road. And we can imagine that Philip would have had many questions and objections maybe even. Why leave my beloved congregation? Why go to that desolate place? I want to know more about it. I want to know, I want to understand before I go. But now it's so beautiful that we don't read anything of that. We read that Philip arose and went. Philip simply obeyed the call of his Lord. And then we see him walking on that desolate road. And we can imagine him thinking, what now? But also praying to God that he would reveal to him what to do. And the Lord indeed did lead him to a searching soul. Because the wheels of God's providence turned. And God provided a servant for this eunuch who is already back on the way home, through which this eunuch may be set at spiritual liberty. So, Pastor Vergunst, as you leave this Samaria and go to the place where the Lord has called you, take heed of the leadings and the promptings of the Spirit. He will make the wheels of providence to turn so that your ministry will be used to the salvation of sinners, to his honor and to his glory. Mrs. Vergunst, or Michelle as the adults would call you, over all these years you have been standing faithfully next to your husband. God has blessed you and with your support to him in his labors here in Carterton. And we thank you greatly for all the work that you have done these 13 years, serving on the school board of trustees, uniform committee, leading the women's Bible study, and many, many other unmentioned tasks which you have done and faithfully done in love as to the Lord. May the Lord continue to give his strength and his grace in all the duties and opportunities that come along with being a minister's wife. Children Vergunst, Benjamin, Melanie, Hadassah and David, there will be many changes for you in the time that is laying before you. You will be traveling to a new place, new home, new house, new church, new friends and so on. And you will leave behind your school here, your home, your church, and your current friends here in New Zealand. So in a way, that's maybe exciting, because you experience new things. But in a way, it's also sad, because you have to give up so many things. Now bring then all these cares to the Lord and trust Him in all your ways. Sarah, Jonathan, Joshua, Christina, and also Kim, Eric, and Rebecca, you will stay in New Zealand. And we are glad to have you here in our midst. This week, you and half the other half of the family will separate paths, and that also applies to Nathan. And it will not be so easy. But the Lord is faithful. May you then cast all your cares upon Him and pray with the psalmist, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." And congregation, a word to you. Since 12 November 2000, the pastor has preached something like 1,100 sermons among us. The Lord has sent His servant in our midst to bid you to the marriage of the King's Son. And where has this brought you? Will these 1,100 sermons be even so many accusations when you stand and appear before the throne of God and have to give an account of your life? Will you then hear, "I have piped unto you, and you have not danced. I have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Or may it be that through grace you may say with Paul, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Congregation, be as this eunuch. He was searching the scriptures. He meditated on the word. He wanted to understand what it meant for himself. And with all his royal pomp and status, he's not ashamed to acknowledge his ignorance and to ask someone to explain God's word to him. The Lord has given this house, His house, wherever that is on this world, where people gather together, particularly as the place where we are instructed in His word. Labor then in your own prayers for a blessing also through the means of the reading services. And as we go forward, for as long as the Lord deems fit, we will be a vacant congregation, a congregation without a pastor. But be assured, we will not be without a shepherd. Pastor Michelle and children Vergunst who are leaving us, the Church of Carterton salutes you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I'd like now to request the congregation to sing as a prayer for both the family Vergunst and us as congregation from Psalter 428, stanzas 5 and 2, in that order. Psalter 428, first stanzas 5, and then stanzas 2, after which I will lead in the closing prayer. Let us now unite in a closing prayer. O most high and almighty God, thou art to receive all praise and all honor, and all glory be unto thee, O Lord. Thou art the one who calls and sends, and thou art the one who opens the hearts of sinners that they may hear the glad tidings of the gospel of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou art the one who sanctifies and makes powerful the word that is brought unto us also here in this congregation by the ministering of thy Spirit. And thou continuest to gather a bride for thy King, for thy Son, the King's Son. And Lord, then we know that also in this place there has been much joy in heaven among the angels over sinners that have repented here in Carterton. Will thou continue this work as thou hast in thy goodness and in thy sovereignty and in thy wisdom deemed it fit to call this thy servant from this place to labor in another part of thy vineyard. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt go with him and richly bless the ministry that he may continue to do there. We pray that thou wilt use him mightily. Go before him. Give light on his paths. We pray also that thou wilt then bless the congregation of Waupun and the other congregations in the United States and America and Canada where he may minister. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt then remember this congregation that stays behind in mercy. Let the fruits of the Holy Spirit, as we have heard this morning, also the joy in thee, be multiplied richly, and that faith may grow in thy people, and that sinners may be born again to thy honor and to thy glory and to the salvation of their never-dying souls. Will thou indeed show us thy glory in Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Well, I acknowledge your kind and warm words, Jaap, and also from here to Reverend Haring, who has written the letter that Brother Harry wrote, read for us. And thank you once more, congregation. I also want to thank you, Michelle. You know, you have to follow, and you have again displayed the great grace of God in your heart, my sweetheart, in being willing to follow me when God called, and to leave behind also a precious part of your family. Thank you so much. Also for your support, and I say the same to my dear children from this place. Never have any one of you raised a question mark about my decision to move again. And I thank you, kids. You've been really awesome, and we will miss you. And that's true for all of us. But rejoice in the Lord. And I'll ask you to close with Psalter 368. It is the verses that we started this congregational building with when we opened it. And that truth remains the same. 368, verse 1 and 2. Arise, O Lord, our God, arise. 1 and 2 of 368. Tonight or this afternoon there will be the youth Bible study on Ephesians at 5:30. And the Saturday evening youth sing-along will be at Harry Bosch's house this time. So receive now the blessing of the Lord God and go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.